Hi, I am Paul Ford, co-founder of Aboard.
And I'm Rich Ciotti, the other co-founder of Aboard. Good to see you, Paul.
Good to see you too, Rich. We've spent a lot of time together recently, even more than normal. We should tell the people very quickly, Aboard is a data tool. It is something you can go to on the web. You can take all your messy spreadsheets and turn them into dynamic software that your team can use to accomplish wonderful things.
That's right.
And so you should check it out at aboard.com. We're the co-founders, which means that we get to take a lot of credit for the wonderful work that the team does. But
correct.
Boy, is this thing coming along. It's getting real good.
It's exciting.
Check out CSV Export.
Calm yourself.
Okay, all right, all right. Anyway, this is the Aboard Podcast. Let's play the theme song. Talk about three things today.
Ooh.
Three things.
5 minute timer on each.
Let's do it. Beep. One is you and I went up to Boston and we and Cambridge, Massachusetts, and we checked out the MIT Technology Review MTech Digital Conference. And I want to complain about Facebook in that context. The second is that Canva, the design tool, got into hip hop. And we want to talk about that very quickly. And the third is that Salesforce had some very exciting news, and we want to talk about that too.
Wow. A buffet of technology news.
So you and I, because we don't spend enough time together, we traveled up to Cambridge, Massachusetts.
We did.
It's the Brooklyn Heights of Massachusetts. It never ends. And it's a delightful place. There's some colleges there. People went there. Occasionally, they'll talk about it. But
I mean, some of the best universities in the world are there.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And MIT, our friends at MIT, put on an AI-themed conference. And they've been on this beat for 2,000 years.
I was going to say, I mean, they should take some credit.
Yes. And they did a great job. And the sort of one of the main events was an interview, an executive editor interviewed Nick Clegg, who is the head of comms for Facebook. How would you describe that conversation? What did you notice about it? Well, what did he talk about, first of all?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, Nick Clegg is a former UK politician. I think he got to deputy prime minister, so he got really high up.
Really
he came
high up.
Close to the sun there,
yep.
Right? And by the sun, I mean a shitty little apartment in London where you get to run the British Empire.
Number 17 and a half Downing Street.
You get, something like that.
You get like a three-legged cat.
Yeah, and look, I think this guy's been there for 5 years, if I'm not mistaken.
For a while, yeah.
Yeah. And look, they hired him because they needed to retake the conversation around Facebook and disinformation and the damage Facebook does to the world and blah, blah, blah. So they hired a master rhetorical debater.
A world-class British politician.
First off, when something comes out in British,
yeah,
you could be...
Oh, with that accent?
Yeah, you're like, wow, that makes a lot of sense.
They had a lot of practice during colonialism. Like, they got really good at it. They're like, oh, you know.
Also, everything has the sort of intonation of a question. It's very apologetic in tone, but very assertive.
Yes.
Very. It's almost like hypnotic in a
no,
weird way.
No, yeah, like they can sit there and be like, we just had to murder all those baby tigers, you know, and you're just like, well, I guess that's what had to happen.
Yeah. And then let's have afternoon tea, et cetera. So this guy's job is essentially to not only rehabilitate, but this guy's a bulldog. He'll go on the offensive and defend Facebook. And look, Facebook right now, it's on a bit of an upswing. Like, Zuckerberg looks more relaxed. He's letting his hair grow out a little. He wears, you know, kind of hip clothes. And the conversation has drifted away from disinformation. This is a big election year, not just in the U.S., but in Europe as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's sort of like, Facebook, are you going to behave yourselves? And then you have this guy.
Yeah.
Not only is he explaining that Facebook is going to behave itself, but he's actually going on the offensive. He's a very savvy...
In a very subtle way. Like, you say bulldog, but you wouldn't think that. It almost comes across as lapdog, and then just starts biting your eyeballs.
Exactly.
The executive editor for MIT Tech Review, who was interviewing him, she did a very good job. She had a list of, like, genuinely hard, well-researched questions. And this guy is just so good at batting them away. And I was seething. I just sat there and got frustrated. Here's the thing. I get that Facebook gets to defend itself, but it should actually articulate some vision. It should articulate some goal. And all this was this endless rhetorical swirl where it'd be like, hey, what about this? And he'd go, well, you know, we did all the research and we have five papers and we commissioned a whole group of people. And blah. And he would just sort of like, it was always like, oh, we saw you coming a while ago and we already dealt with it. And so there's actually no forward plan. There's just, it is this very
He said two things that I thought were interesting. One was, there isn't a problem.
Yes.
So there's two parts to what you ask of Facebook. Do you acknowledge there's a problem? And the second part is, what are you going to do about it going forward?
Right.
So he has a battle plan. You ever see like movies where like the generals are standing over the map?
Yes.
And there's like little men and they move them around with that tool, like sweeping tool.
Yeah.
This guy has it all planned out. And so the first thing he lays out is that all these prestigious universities have done studies and there's no problem.
There's no problem. The problem being AI misinformation.
Just generally Facebook no problem. Being responsible. Like there are so many, like Facebook is a global actor, like in a very meaningful way. It affects how children grow up. It affects through Instagram. It affects how people think about their politicians and their civic leaders. You can't look away from that. And his whole argument is, everyone's making a bigger deal out of it than they actually are because it seems like everybody has this opinion. That was one of his power moves, which is like, you know what? The left and the right are both saying we're wrong. How about nobody's wrong and everybody's just crazy?
Here's what was like, what we...
You were kind of seething.
I was seething, but I will say, here's what was good to learn. The Facebook policy is that of a centrist, absolutely no responsibility entity going forward. You're going to have Zuckerberg talk about AI, and he's going to have cooler hair than he had before. And you're going to have this guy come out and say, we're totally neutral.
It's a non-stance, right?
Yeah.
40 minutes in, what was most frustrating, I think, nothing had been said.
You know what I hate? I hate that the technology industry refuses to claim its power. It's always wanted that power. It gets it. It gets all the money. And then it's like, no. We're like a road that the cars drive down.
And there's a bit of a, well, people are going to be people.
Yeah, sometimes they'll murder a lot of other people. So that was Cambridge. We came back. There was a cookie there. A good ginger snap cookie that they had. I enjoyed
that. That's what you came away with.
That was my experience. We talked to some AI companies in the room. It was great. So then we came back, and then immediately as we're getting back, where news gets out that Canva, the company that lets you make posters for your...
They let you make anything graphics related. If you need to make a video for your Instagram or an image... It is a sprawling graphic design platform.
You know who loves Canva is schools. It's just posters.
Right?
Canva leadership stood up and just sort of did a big rap about Canva and where it's at right now.
WRAP? You mean
backup dancers and just like...
Oh, like a hip-hop...
A series of verses.
Performance. Yeah. Okay. How'd that go?
Not well. It was actually... Here's the problem, and I was thinking about this. I just want to throw this idea at you, which is marketing has to be really sincere when you're giving the news about the product, but when you decide to entertain through marketing... It can't be sincere. Microsoft were masters of this. For 20 years, all of their entertainment was incredibly cheesy. Like Steve Ballmer and Bill Gates, well, they would do like dumb dances. Like these two goofy dudes would do dance. And it made it very approachable. And it never tried to be actual.
You don't have to be cool because we're not cool.
If you try to make an actually good aesthetic experience while you are spitting verses about Canva and online... rectangle drawing tool.
Yeah.
Then like 20 newspapers will write about how cringe and embarrassing you are.
Yes, but guess what, man?
What?
20 newspapers wrote about Canva.
Well, that's what they're saying at Canva right now. That's what they're...
I have to imagine, and this happened with Google like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, Google had like
that DJ kooky guy.
Singing about Google.
My read is they know exactly what's going on here.
You think?
I think so. Because the only way you can get like the Des Moines Inquirer to write about you as a modern graphics design tool is if you have something funny or ridiculous to share. Or even local news. It was probably on local TV news. You ever see local TV news?
Oh, many times.
Like in Missouri.
I'm standing in front of the House of Horrors.
Yeah, exactly. So they will give it, you know, like that trailing segment in the last 5 minutes?
Yes.
And now we're going to go over to a fancy tech conference that happened, and it went off the rails.
That's right. And it's, yeah, it's true. Like, Mike turns to Cindy, and he's like, what do you think of that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is Canva that savvy? It's shocking to what you're describing. These are two different worlds. One world is you have no clue and no taste.
Yes.
The other world is you are extremely media savvy. I'm going to go with extremely media savvy. I think. I don't know for sure.
Well, we're going to find
Google,
out.
Google, I think for sure, knew that guy was a goofball.
They also were like, go get the crowd warmed up. And he was like, sure, give me $20,000. Right? Like,
exactly. It's just this, I don't know. It's one of those great mysteries, right? Like, did they think that they were cool? I can't tell.
Part of me, too, is like, it's a five-minute fiasco that you're just sitting in the audience enjoying.
And this isn't new, right? Look, go down the list, right?
Yeah.
Blink 182 or whoever has performed for Adobe.
And
Metallica's performed
Foo Fighters
for Salesforce.
Yeah, exactly.
There is this world of, like, if your last hit album was 5 years ago or longer, you could do the corporate circuit.
The one that was brutal was, and I can't remember which two banks it was, but they merged and these two guys with acoustic guitars performed U2's One. But
it's incredible.
We're one bank.
We need to share that.
You can't.
It's of America and I think Capital One merged or something.
We're one bank.
It's one of the most difficult things to watch.
And it's been erased from the internet. I went to look for it.
There are ways to find it, yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure there are. But yeah. An army
has
of
it really
lawyers,
been erased?
You cannot find it.
No.
It was so brutal. It was just guys polo shirts. All right, so
last thought. You know what was a killer move? Zoho's conference hired Dexy's Midnight Runners, which was really something else.
All right, Richard, third subject. This one is a little meatier, but I think we'll get through it just as fast as the others. Salesforce had a very bad week. Its shares plunged a whole bunch. It was one of those ones where, like, if you were driving, the car would go off a cliff.
Oh,
kind of.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. And it's now, look, quarterly revenue gained 11%, woof, slightly below estimates. But here's what they're saying.
It's a lot of revenue.
It's a lot of revenue.
I mean, it's a lot of growth, I should say.
It is, right? So revenue will rise as much as 8% to $9.25 billion in the period ending in July. So things are going great at Salesforce by my view.
$9 billion a quarter.
But the machine is slowing down.
Inevitable.
And the market doesn't love that. Market's like, well, I guess your stock
growth,
isn't
growth, worth- growth, growth, growth.
Yes.
Yeah.
What people are saying is like, hey, you said you had a whole AI strategy, and we don't really see it.
Is that the crux of the suspicion and sort of pulling back?
Yeah, I would question. So an analyst, I would question if a lot of the focus by CIOs on AI is coming at the expense of expansions at Salesforce, right? So and Benioff, the CEO, is saying that artificial intelligence is going to be really positive and we're going to help companies realize the promise of AI over the next decade. So the idea was that this is, again, in Bloomberg. It's an article from May 29th, and it's written by Brody Ford. Maybe I'm related. Hi, Brody.
Okay, so I understand. Did they miss their numbers? Is that why?
Yeah.
Okay, and so that opened up another conversation, which is you don't seem to have a plan. Aren't you growing?
Well, it's opening up a very specific conversation. So the AI winners are NVIDIA. Right? Hardware, the infrastructure.
You need it to do it.
And then there's all these products like OpenAI, which are kind of we'll get it right in your hands. Your little greasy hands will have access to
very
pictures.
Very consumer-y, yeah.
And then there's this whole layer in the middle, what we live there too, which is this platform is going to deliver AI into the enterprise in a very controlled way. All this productivity and all the wonderful things that AI does for you, people are going to be able to get them through the miracle of Salesforce. Salesforce will get AI into Joe's Carpet Emporium, 25 stores in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And they'll be able to get access to AI technologies through Salesforce, which they already know and love. And we're going to sell more Salesforce licenses and get more stuff as a result. And that strategy, the market just said, I don't believe it anymore. That to me feels like an inflection point. And I'm curious what you think.
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of thoughts here. I will share. Look, we talk to a lot of people.
Yes.
And we hear the same three words a lot.
What are they?
I hate Salesforce.
Boy, do they.
We hear it a lot. We hear it a lot, not because Salesforce is bad. It's just because Salesforce is mold that you just can't mitigate anymore. It's just all over the house.
It's true.
It's everywhere, and it's expensive.
I hate Salesforce and Let's Go Rangers. Those are like, as we walk around New York City, those seem to be...
Let's Go Rangers, by the way. I don't know what will happen when you hear this podcast. Hopefully, we'll advance this Stanley Cup.
Those are the three words that matter. Never I love you. Never that.
And I'm not implying that Salesforce is bad. What I'm implying is Salesforce has reached critical mass. Like, it is everywhere. It is kind of everywhere. And
well, it's just that everybody hates Windows still.
Everybody hates Windows.
But we're used to it. It's you can't get divorced.
Here's the difference. Salesforce, I think this is a, I'm going to say something very high level strategy about how Salesforce thinks about innovation.
Okay.
Salesforce cakes on innovation.
Yes.
Microsoft's second wind, when Nadella came on, he abandoned so many fundamental ideas at Microsoft. The idea of Microsoft Office on Apple devices, the idea that you can dump the Internet Explorer code base and adopt Chromium as a core. He actually gutted.
They'd already said goodbye to phones, but like that, attempt to resurrect that. Like the fact that like Microsoft was going to be, at a code level, the code was going to get disposable. Open source became big.
And what you have is, When an organization gets to a certain scale, like Salesforce did and what Microsoft did, you have literally armies of advocates who want to defend boxed Office software and Microsoft Windows and their relationship with Dell. And then you had a guy come in and say, it's over. You can still have that, and it's going to be a smaller line item. But the world is all about cloud computing and hosted services, and we have the best relationships in the world, and Amazon sells flip-flops, and we're going to eat their lunch. And in 10 years, he did.
Yep.
For an organization like Microsoft that has
immense pride.
Well, to be clear,
Amazon's okay. They just got in there and ate some of their lunch.
They ate some of their lunch.
Yeah.
But to essentially shed your success in a lot of ways, shed your past and be something different, it's very hard to do. You need a leader to do it. Benioff has been running this thing forever. And Salesforce, historically, whenever they acquired anything, it became a Katamari Damacy monstrosity.
And they in this article,
it's
they're like, we're not done with inorganic growth, which I just love. Is it like buying companies? It's just inorganic. It's
exactly.
Just like,
exactly. Now, can they do it? Benioff's a brilliant guy, and he could do it. Today, what you see is it's an add-on. There's a lot of the upsell. Salesforce is the king of upsell.
Right.
You go in, you thought you just bought the base options, and then it all gets layered on, right? And that's their business, and they run a lot of the world. AI shows up, he pounces like, new avenue.
Well, and customers are going to lean in and buy more Salesforce. They're going to be able to close more engagements.
We could have a separate podcast about how organizations view AI. AI has been a consumer conversation up till now. Organizations always come later.
Well, it's also the media doesn't understand enterprise because it's horrible and boring.
It's incredibly boring.
And over here you have Sam Altman getting fired and robots that tell you that lie to you. It's great, right? It's interesting.
It's good media.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's still playing out. I wouldn't write them off just yet.
Oh, they're going to be fine.
Well, no. I think what the market is essentially saying is like, you had your day. And you're going to still make billions, but you are not the next frontier.
No,
that's what they're saying.
Well, I think what they're saying is, I got OpenAI over here and Google and, you know, Microsoft heavily invested in OpenAI. And over here, I have NVIDIA. I have Jensen Huang in a leather jacket building infrastructure and data centers and things like that. You said that you could sort of like be a bridge, and I'm not buying it just yet.
Well, there's too much there still. You have to shed stuff. You have to shed stuff to really reintroduce yourself as something new.
I think they spackled it on as a sales tool. I'm sure it delivers value. I'm sure there's like some little animated guy who will help you close more business.
Paul,
yeah?
There is a team of 70 that is working on Project Jupiter inside of Salesforce that is a complete reimagining that may get murdered in the next 12 months. Right?
No one will ever see their work.
They never see their work. It's the Apple car, right?
And then Project Neptune gets started. God bless you, my friends.
Yeah, this is a fascinating topic because we care about it. Like Salesforce,
we live.
They
in
are
it,
a gold standard well, in terms of sales.
Let's be clear: the kind of company we are, we live in its shadow.
Yeah, we right? do. We do.
It's,
we
we're
do.
A little tiny mammal, and that's yeah. the brontosaurus. Yeah. Okay, so Richard, we explained the entire tech industry in three short episodes.
Amazing.
Yeah, good for
Amazing.
Us. Look at us, aren't we good yeah. boys? Yeah. We now have to go to a meeting and talk about engagement numbers. So we better get the hell out of here.
All right, everyone, give us 5 stars if you are using a podcast product that allows you to put stars in, and hit us up hello@aboard.com. We love to get feedback.
Yep, check out the product. Actually, we've received a bunch of feedback lately, and I'll tell you what, it has changed the feature roadmap. We are doing lots of things just so that users can be happy,
because yes.
that's what makes us happy.
Check out the tool aboard.com.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Have a
bye.
Lovely week. Bye bye.